All right. Hello, I'm Rebecca Piccolo, and today I'm going to be talking about neighborhood and its role in racial ethnic disparities in type 2 diabetes. I have no disclosures to make. A bit of background. It's well known that Black and Hispanic Americans have a much higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes than white Americans. And the search for contributors to these disparities have tended to focus on three major areas thus far. Lifestyle and behaviors are enormous focus, diet, exercise, body mass index, obesity. And a major thrust now has been on the second factor, genetic causes for these racial ethnic disparities. My research group has tended to focus on area number three here, which are socioeconomic factors. But today's presentation, we focus on a fourth contributor to disparities, and that is where you live. This is a very Boston-centric presentation, by the way. So neighborhoods have emerged as a potential context in which disparities are fostered. They contain both physical and social attributes which can augment or inhibit health behaviors. And for these reasons, research into the effects of neighborhoods on health and behaviors like diet, exercise, and obesity have been growing. However, literature linking neighborhood characteristics to more downstream health outcomes, like type 2 diabetes, is more limited. And very few studies have examined neighborhoods as a fundamental contributor to disparities. So the objectives of this research are to, first, quantify the contribution of neighborhood versus individual factors to racial ethnic disparities in type 2 diabetes. And second, to see if we can identify specific aspects of neighborhoods that are associated with these disparities and to measure their relative contributions. So here's our conceptual model. Your socioeconomic status, your education, income, your occupation, and your race ethnicity affect where you live. And where you live exposes you to a variety of other things like neighborhood deprivation, the socioeconomic status of the neighborhood overall, poverty, who you live with, the racial composition of your neighborhood. And this also affects the resources available, like the built environment, access to grocery stores, supermarkets, fast food restaurants, and open space, places to get exercise outdoors comfortably. Safety, whether you're exposed to violent crime, property crime. And all of these things influence how an individual feels about where they live. There's a lot of focus right now on it's not necessarily the actual safety of a neighborhood, but how a person feels about whether they feel like they can go outside. So individual perceptions can really have an effect here. So all these things affect your physical activity, diet, obesity, and eventually downstream type 2 diabetes. So to answer these research questions, we use data from the third wave of the Boston Area Community Health Survey. Boston Area Community Health Survey, which started in 2002, just finished up the third wave. It was a stratified random sample cohort study of community dwelling adults. We have 3,100 people who participated in both Bach 1 and Bach 3. Participants who had a geocodable address, and we were able to geocode all but three of our participants, and who resided in Boston still at the third wave, were included in these analyses. And we're really focusing on disparities here, so the main determinant of interest is self-identified race ethnicity. And a great thing about this sample is that we recruited approximately equal numbers of Black, Hispanic, and white adults. And the outcome of this study is diagnosed and undiagnosed diabetes. Now, we merged this individual level data with a comprehensive list of neighborhood data, both from objective sources and also people's own subjective opinion about their neighborhood. So in objective measures, from the census tract, we got a variety of factors like percent living in poverty. We created a socioeconomic status measure based on methods created by Diaz-Roux, percent minority. We also calculated property crime and violent crime rates per 1,000 residents within the census tract. We looked at the amount of open space available within each census tract. And we combined this with individual level measures like each participant's distance to the closest supermarket, grocery store, convenience store, fast food restaurants, and, as I've mentioned before, their own perceptions of their neighborhood. And we used a validated scale to look at perceived neighborhood disorder. This measure captures both the sense of physical disorder, so thinking like there's graffiti, broken windows, disturbed sidewalks, things like that, as well as social disorder, which would be more like problems with neighbors. They feel there's a lot of drug and alcohol use in the neighborhood. And to conduct the statistical analyses, first we used ArcGIS to geocode addresses, map distances, measure densities, calculate spatial autocorrelations, and then we used M+7 to construct multi-level logistic regression models. And this accounts for the fact that participants are clustered within neighborhoods, so it's likely that their data will cluster together. And we use multiple imputation in order to reduce bias. So on to the findings. We did find that there were substantial racial ethnic disparities in Boston, with blacks being about having three times the odds of having prevalent diabetes versus whites, and Hispanics had about twice the odds of having type 2 diabetes. And even after we adjusted for individual factors like gender, age, lifestyle, such as diet, physical activity, body mass index, and individual socioeconomic status, these disparities remain, particularly among the black adults. They had about twice the odds of having type 2 diabetes as white participants. And here is the distribution of diabetes prevalence as measured by the Bach survey in Boston. So these areas of dark red are where more than 30% of participants had type 2 diabetes. And we can see that these dark red diabetes clusters tend to be centered in certain neighborhoods like Roxbury, parts of South Boston, parts of Dorchester, and Mattapan. So you can definitely see there's kind of a spatial trend going on here. And this was confirmed by our analysis. The spatial autocorrelation was significant. And also the multi-level models indicated that there was substantial between neighborhood variability in type 2 diabetes prevalence. So here we've calculated the interclass correlation. That's a measure which it measures the between versus within neighborhood variability. So this indicates that of all the variability in type 2 diabetes, about 22% of that can be explained by the neighborhood. And even after accounting for individual level variables, we see that there's still a significant between neighborhood variability, and the interclass correlation still indicates that about 17% of all variability is explained at the neighborhood level. We identified several contextual factors that proved to be associated with type 2 diabetes. These are just bivariate associations. So participants who lived in low socioeconomic status census tracts were more likely to be diabetic. Participants who lived in high poverty census tracts were more likely to be diabetic. Participants who lived in high minority census tracts were more likely to be diabetic. And also, participants who felt that their neighborhood had a lot of social disorder, so that again was, feeling there was drug and alcohol use or a lack of safety in the neighborhood, these participants were also more likely to have diabetes. And here's some visuals to kind of go along with that. This map demonstrates the patterning of socioeconomic status using a common metric in Boston. The darkest purple areas are the lowest socioeconomic status areas. And this is from 2010 census data. You can see, again, that the low socioeconomic status areas tend to be Roxbury, now East Boston, too, parts of Dorchester and Mattapan. And this patterning tends to mirror the patterning that we see in type 2 diabetes. So this is kind of confirming visually what we saw with our bivariate associations. Here's the racial composition of Boston. So the dark purple areas are where over 75% of the census tract are minority residents. And again, the dark purple clusters tend to be in Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan, which again reflects the patterning of type 2 diabetes in Boston. However, despite what we see visually in these bivariate associations, none of these factors explained neighborhood variability in type 2 diabetes, nor could they explain disparities. So in this graph, I'm presenting the odds ratios. On the far left, we can see just the odds ratios adjusting for age and gender. And again, we see that blacks have about 3 times the odds of having type 2 diabetes versus whites, and Hispanics about 2.5 times the odds. And we can see that these odds ratios are reduced slightly when you account for individual socioeconomic status. So that's the clustering of individual socioeconomic status within the neighborhood. But when we further add the actual measure of the socioeconomic status of the neighborhood of the census tract, it doesn't reduce the odds ratios any further, nor does it explain any more of the neighborhood variability. And we did this for all of the variables that I listed in the beginning, so here we have violent crime and census tract socioeconomic status, but we looked at poverty, access to grocery stores, and none of these things could explain the variability in type 2 diabetes, or could they explain the disparities. So in conclusion, we found that there were large area variations in the prevalence of type 2 diabetes, and that this variation mirrored the distribution of socioeconomics and racial composition in Boston, but compositional factors actually appear to explain more of the neighborhood variability than contextual factors. And none of the contextual factors that we measured in this study helped to explain disparities. So where do we go from here? What could potentially explain these disparities? And it's important to note that individual and neighborhood characteristics are shaped by the macroeconomic forces of the cities, states, and regions that they are in. So for a high degree of racial or economic segregation may contribute to unexplained variation. So we put this in context. Boston is a very highly racially, ethnically segregated city. It's 11th in the nation by some reports. And this high degree of segregation may contribute to not having much variation in the neighborhood measure that we have in the census tract. And this may explain why we didn't, see significant findings here. Nonetheless, these results do imply that policies perhaps aimed at just improving the physical environment may be insufficient to reduce disparities, as they do nothing to change the larger forces that are contributing to the social patterning within neighborhoods. Thank you.